So JT and I have been really good friends for over a decade now, and you know that you're really good friends when you can pick on your buddy when he's super nervous. So he was one of the guys, I don't know if you remember, a couple months ago, he doesn't like flying. And so we were sitting next to each other on the flight, and I leaned over and said, JT, I don't have a good feeling about this.
He just said it now. He just said that as we sat down. I don't have a good feeling about this.
It's so good. And guys, we're going to record this, right? Sally, you got this good? All right. Great. Come on in. Grab a seat. Well, thank you all for being here. This is an exciting time in the life of our church. Thank you, particularly if you're a member of Grace, thank you for being here and making this priority, because in a couple Sundays, you're going to have the opportunity to vote on this guy, and we want you to do that, having known as much as you possibly can about him and making the best decision that you can make for the benefit of our church. So before we get into the Q&A, let me pray, and then we'll jump in. Several of you sent me questions, and so we're going to get through as many of these as we can. Some of them are a couple parts to them, and we got like 20 and an hour. Those of you who have ever listened to a Q&A is like that. So we'll try to be as efficient as we can be. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful to you for the blessing of JT to our church, the ways that he has already served, the ways that we've been able to watch you grow him and sanctify him in his faith and his love for Christ and his service to the youth group and outreach ministry and small group and on the elder board. Father, our church has already been blessed, and this is just another opportunity to get to know this man, and we ask that you would give him clarity with answers and allow us the opportunity to see and hear what it is that you're doing in his heart. We ask that you would do all these things for your own glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, again, thank you all for being here, and thank you for being here. I appreciate it. Why don't we start by just telling us kind of the short version of your testimony.
I can run the clock out on the testimony. One question, that's it. Yeah, praise God. I grew up in a home that did not reflect Christ. We would say they were Catholic, didn't attend church, barely even on a Christmas and an Easter. But I did go to a Catholic school, a few different schools when I was young, and had some foundations in there. And one of the things that's really interesting, I didn't have a lot of oversight. My dad did leave us when I was a teenager at a tough time. But I always had a love for church. I had followed all of the sacraments. I took my life seriously on a Sunday when I was in the church. I never missed church. I loved it. I loved everything about my Catholic faith I was raised up in. The smells, the stained glass, everything about it I loved. I just didn't love Jesus. I didn't even know him. If you had said to me, who is Jesus, I would have said, he's the guy that died on the cross. I had no understanding that he died for me. So I'm going out about my life, and I realized once I had come to Grace, and I'll get to that real quick, but once I had come to Grace, I realized what I didn't know. I realized what a sinner I was, and none of the actions I did as a Catholic could take away my sin. It was the requirement that God had set, perfection and holiness and righteousness that I don't possess apart from Christ. And well, we're going on about our life, and we're church hopping a little bit, trying to find, we knew we weren't being fed. We had no idea what that was. And by God's providence, he put Diane and Marcia Serinelli in the same children's library story time, and they continued to develop a relationship, and she shared the gospel, and Diane had come to Grace Women's Nights. She was a new believer in Christ, and I had no idea what that meant, the new creation, but I was living with a new creation. I remember calling my sister one time and saying, "You don't understand. She is a different person." And it was just right in front of my eyes. I saw this happening. It was pretty amazing. And I saw her love for the scriptures and her love for God. And she was quite aware that she was a sinner in need of salvation. So I wanted a happy wife. And she said, "Can I go?" I said, "Sure. Would you like to come?" "Maybe." I did walk out of two Sunday schools because I was so convicted. I was sitting towards the back there, and I remember sitting there with Diane going, "I think that big guy's looking at me." Pastor Andrew's preaching, I was like, "Why does he keep looking at me?" I was being so greatly convicted by my sin and need for the Savior, and it wasn't until I heard the preaching of the Word. Right away, Bob started teaching me the scriptures and reading with me for over a year every Monday. It was probably during that study that I came to believe the Lord. There was one moment I'll share with Bob LaForge in his Sunday school. I don't know the moment of my salvation, but Bob was teaching on the attributes and the holiness of God, and he was teaching. If Bob LaForge is teaching again, go to Bob LaForge's class. He was teaching on God's omnipresence, omniscience.
Bob would tell you that as well.
Yeah. he keeps it very light, but that particular day, the Lord used his teaching when I realized he said God knows it all. And as a Catholic, I thought he only knew what I was telling that guy behind the screen who needs Christ as much as I do. And there was a day where it was like there was a sun on me. It was like there was a light on my face. There was a forehead. I was sweating. I was like, God was with me when I did what? It was so real. And I'm so thankful to Bob. And then the Lord had me on a track to continue to know him and seek his word. I had not a reader. I'll confess I had never read a book in my life before I read the Bible. And that's evidence that God had done that work because I can't stop. And I tried to read and just never had an interest in it. When God got a hold of my heart, I can read it every night. I do.
Yeah.
So I confess my sin and ask the Lord to forgive me and place my trust in him and him alone.
And praise God for that. Yeah. And when we first got here, I think you were still kind of like going back and forth a little bit with, okay, is this what I want to do? Is this where I want to bring my family? But eventually it became clear, this is where you're committed. And over several years of faithfulness, the elders recognize you're doing the work of elder. It's not that we make pastors, it's that we recognize them, and then we put them in the office, and we recognize guys who are qualified, who want to do it, and who are gifted for it. We saw that in you. So just talk to us briefly about your call to ministry, that kind of beginning, becoming a pastor, and now as it pertains to this kind of next step in your life, taking on full-time ministry.
I believe the very moment the Lord saved me, he put me into service to him. Take very seriously the text where it says that God has entrusted to us the gospel. God has entrusted to us, his people, broken vessels, to shine the light of Christ to the world. And that 2 Corinthians 5 verse is one of my favorite verses where if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And it goes on to say that God has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. And I believe that from very early on when I was saved, that I was in service to the Lord. My heart was on his people. My heart was on my family and friends who were unsaved. So very early on. And then getting opportunities to serve. Russ Brewer had asked me to oversee the summer program. It was like 2013 or so. We called it Grace Scouts. I had been in scouting for a few years and really enjoyed that, and coaching baseball and things, and Russ said, would you oversee this program, you and another brother? And yeah, it was great. I was thinking the whole time, why is he asking me? And then as time went on, there was opportunities with Bob Serinelli, you know, being in his small group for years, and then being asked to take over his small group that was in like 17-ish, rather, and then being invited into the youth group to serve on the youth group ministry staff there, and have loved serving in youth group. It has been our joy to do it, and they bring so much energy into that room. But I was, during that time, sitting under the teaching of Pastor Jack, and one of the tough things about, I loved Wednesday nights, the midweek feeding, and it was Pastor Randy primarily. It was kind of like getting Pastor Randy, I jokingly called it Randy Unplugged. It was just him down here with a book teaching us, and I loved it. We craved it. We loved praying with the church. So when Jack asked us, I was like, oh, I give up Wednesdays. I didn't know what the Lord had in store, that I would be fed abundantly there and trained and given opportunities to teach. And yeah, so that was 17. So it's about 9 years, 9+ years in youth group, and 9 or 10 years in our small group ministry. And then being asked to be an elder. Remember the day Pastor Randy pulled me over that opening that door area, and he says, hey, would you? And I'm like, is he talking to me? And what's really interesting about it is I don't always feel equipped to do what God calls me to do. I think for me, feeling ill-equipped to do it is what makes me equipped. I then trust more in him. I'm not getting puffed up. And God does call. He equips those he calls. He doesn't always call the equipped. He's equipping us. Hebrews 13. So, yeah, so I've had the opportunity to serve in many capacities in the church and have loved it. Mm. Loved it. And the call, when Pastor Jack was coming over here to candidate for the head pastor role, we had already been talking about, can we split the youth group up? It's so big. Would you oversee it? And I got to tell you, I wanted the youth group job so much I could taste it. I really wanted it. But there was always something that didn't feel like it was the right place. And it was like, okay, I'll take it. I'll get into full-time ministry. I love these kids. It would be a great opportunity. But in my heart, something was just not right. And Diane, who has always been supportive of everything, she's like, let's do it. And I brought that up to her. She says, yeah, if you want, I'm supportive. Yep, we'll do that. And it wasn't exactly. I was like, okay. So as time went on, the call to ministry was there, and then he would bring another candidate. I'm like, oh, God, had it all worked out, and then it wouldn't. And the whole time I wanted that job, but it never felt like that's where the Lord wanted me, and I didn't want to be there if it wasn't where I felt he wanted me to be. And then that's when you spoke to me about an opportunity to take an associate pastor role, and we were in his office, and he said, what would you think about that? And I said, I don't have to think about it or pray about it. I would take that. It took me 1 second. I actually jokingly said, I don't even have to talk to Diane. but I will, because I knew that's where she would want me to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was it that prompted that transition from you had a long career in the car business, and now you're going to a different occupation?
Well, a few things. The Lord had given me such a desire to continue to grow and serve him, at the same time taking away my desire to pursue all the stuff that goes on in the car business. It's a tough business, 41 years in the car business, and it's a tough business. But it's all built on hit the objective, get the money, get the gross, make your money. Like the Lord had been taking away from me the desire to pursue financially that way. And we certainly had a need. We had kids in college, and my wife was blessed to be a stay-at-home mom for many years, so the business provided well, but I had lost my desire to be there and to even really be I was a bad employee, but I've not been the employee I want to be, because I just don't feel like that's where the Lord has me. And we were studying in the George Mueller book, and I think the decision had already been made, and George Mueller was saying, if you're at a spot where you don't want the Lord to find you when he returns, you might need to change. But that was only in very few circumstances. He made that very clear. And he goes on to talk about it. And it was like, you know, the brother from 1850 was talking to me 2 weeks ago. I just felt like it wasn't where the Lord wanted me to be. He had taken my desires away that had filled me at my job of hitting that objective, making the most, do all that. It was very, Julie Smith had asked me years ago, she goes, how do you do it? Well, I go there and I try and be faithful, and I'll be honest, they don't want the gospel. They don't want my light even being there. The Lord had taken that desire away from me, and the call to ministry had never left me from the minute I thought about it. And thankful for the church and for the elders giving me opportunities to grow. And these men have poured into me. I can't even name all the men that have poured into me since I first walked through that door. It's unbelievable. I couldn't even name them all. And the last few weeks, I've been on the phone with Pastor Randy and Barry and Russ Brewer and just reaching out to the men. I just didn't want them to hear it from someone else. Talked to Kevin Doucette. Just reaching out to the men who I looked up to and poured into me and just sharing good news.
Yeah, praise God for that. You had mentioned a little bit already, but what do Diane and the kids think about you going into full-time ministry?
She's very excited and very supportive, right, honey? The kids are excited. They see that my love of doing it, and they see, in a sense, that calling that the Lord has put on me to do it and desire and want to serve and serve. I love you guys. You know, I just want to serve this church and serve the Lord doing it.
What would you do if the church voted no?
Brother, I would just accept the Lord's will in that and accept this. Yeah, I would accept the Lord's will in that, and I would probably ride out my time at Bueller and continue to try and be faithful there until the Lord opened up another door for me.
But your ultimate pursuit would be ministry.
Oh, yeah, I would just look for another opportunity. Yeah, I mean, I would be looking for an opportunity that the Lord would open, sure. Mm. But I would go there because that's what I've done for 41 years. That's what I do.
Yeah. So how do you see this as a benefit to the church? Why do you think the church should do this? A good decision? I mean, you're an elder, right? Responsible before God for being a part of the leadership of the church and guiding it in the right way?
It would be a blessing to not only the staff, because we are running with two pastors, and we've currently run with four for many years. We've had four. And it would be a blessing to the church because, and all glory to God, I believe this is the role that the Lord has equipped me for. I don't want to sound like I can, you know. It's because the Lord has prepared my heart for it. I have been doing this role as a lay elder pastor for 5.5 years. And if you've been in my shepherding sphere, I do hope that you have been felt shepherded. I've prayed for your cards. I visit you when you're sick. I do the stuff that this job is asked of, and love to do it. Love to be there.
Yeah, just give us a bit of an overview on your ministry experience here at Grace. What are the things that you've served in? What are you interested in? And how have you seen the Lord use that?
Serving in youth group for the many, many years, and love the kids, and have seen maturity in those that are in Christ, and have just seen joy on the staff faces when you see kids go off and they're prepared to go off to the next stage of life. There's a joy for us to see them go out and be servants and get plugged in churches where they are. We have, by the Lord's sovereignty and grace, seen students come to saving faith, whether in youth group or on youth group retreat. And again, all glory to God, but it is through the faithful preaching of the word that they heard. And just wherever the Lord has called me to be in the church, whether it's small group ministries, youth group, serving on the elder board, and just love the men that I've been blessed to serve with. There's just so many guys that have been, you know, I just love to be with. And when Pastor Randy asked me, one of the things for me was, I get to be in Bible studies with these guys. And my hunger for the word, we do deep Bible study dives and discussions and help each other grow. And I just kept saying to myself, how could I be in that room with these guys? And the Lord has just been so faithful. So yeah, I'm served in youth group ministry, small group ministry. I was in Barry's counseling classes, and thankful that he had gone through a couple years of going through the counseling ministries books, been fed greatly by the Sunday school teachers, and been blessed to have taught Sunday schools. Local evangelism, I feel that's one of my spiritual gifts that I can evangelize. I believe the Lord gives me the words in those times when I walk up and go, how am I going to start this conversation? The Lord gives me words to say, and I believe that that's been profitable. I just trust the word of God went out. I don't trust my words won't come back void, but I trust the words of God do not come back void.
Tell us the story of the other night when you were out with the youth group guys.
So it's the second time we do a Manasquan Rocks right there at the corner of the inlet, and the kids play crazy wiffle ball games and fun things. And
this is your small group?
Small group, but last year was the whole bunch, all the boys. And this past Friday night, we ordered extra pizzas like we do, and those guys are having fun and being kids. And people are walking by, and I'm just saying, hey, we thought we were going to have 20 kids. We ordered lots of pizza. Please eat a slice of pizza. And people are like, oh, I'll have a slice of pizza. And it was really funny how the Lord just kept bringing people walking by. And other than the first three who rejected me, I don't think another person said no to pizza the whole night. We went through piles of pizza, and each one heard the gospel very clearly. And it wasn't, there was no skirting of it. It was, you need to repent of your sin and believe upon the gospel. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin. And one after another, the one lady said, oh, I'm waiting for my husband. We're going to go to dinner. I said, what's that got to do with pizza? Everybody has room for pizza. Eat a slice of pizza. It just kept going. And people were walking by. Oh, we just had dinner. I said, yeah, and it's pizza. It's dessert. And they just kept coming over and eating it. And I can't eat. There was four teenagers that they were setting up for their prom. The guy was going to ask the young lady to the prom, and they were setting up candles or doing something on the beach, and they had blankets. And I didn't know what they were doing, but they were running. She said, we're going to come back for pizza. And they came back, and these two girls, they were like this when I was giving them the gospel. They didn't want to leave. They left and came back to talk more. And one of the boys, I handed him the Bible, and I said, here's John, I want you to find this. And I had him reading from my Bible to the girls, the guys. And they committed to me that they would read their Bible separately and then talk about it. Just, the Lord was just opening doors. It was just me being having fun with it, and it just kept opening more and more doors. And the boys, I asked them point blank, did you ask her father before you asked her? He said, oh. I said, well, now you have two things to do. You can go home and apologize to her father for not asking him, and then ask him. So we had some fun with that. And there was many. One lady was a dog rescuer, and she was just walking dogs that she had placed in these people's homes. And I'm like, rescuer? And you ask me about these kids, you know, we're Grace Bible Church. You know what the Bible teaches? That Jesus Christ is the rescuer. He rescues us from our sin and our rebellion and delivers us to God for eternal life with Christ. And I just kept talking to her, and she was so engaging. And I just used her dog rescue thing. The Lord gave me that. But that's, yeah.
Was it an ugly dog?
It was an ugly dog. I was like, oh. I literally looked at him and said, oh, what's his name? Because I couldn't say what a cute dog. Or I said something like, where did you get him? It was really bad. It was a bad dog. It was an ugly dog.
So in what are the ways that you feel like the Lord has gifted you, and how do you think those complement the responsibilities that you're going to have over congregational care, missions, and outreach?
Wow. Again, God, I believe, has given me a heart for this church, a heart for his people in general. And when these people are hurting, we share in that hurt. When you are going through surgeries, when you're in hospitals, as you had done for me, with my struggles in 24 with the heart attack and eye palsy and all the fun stuff that went on, I just have a heart for God's people. And that's a heart that he gave to me. And been doing that job in a smaller scale with the 40 to 50 families that are assigned to each shepherding elder, and just enjoy doing it. Enjoy reaching out to you guys, sharing good sermons, hearing what you're reading, sharing what we're reading. I just feel that God has given me a love for that and a giftedness to reach out to people. And even when those tough phone calls happen, to be there for them, had a bunch of those since I've been an elder, and they're not easy. I mean, there's real hurt. There's a lot of hurt in this world. And it hurts the church. So we have to meet that hurt with what Scripture teaches us about that. So I believe God has gifted me there. As far as the outreach, I'm so looking forward to that. And I think there's a really great opportunity for Grace Bible Church to have an impact in the community and to use the people that are here. Yes, I love going to the boardwalk evangelism. We may do that again. I love that. And if 8 of us go, let's do it. But it's really having that mindset that you are all sent ones. We don't just come to church on Sunday. We live out our faith during the week. And when we continue to encourage one another in faithfulness there, and I think I do that, I think I'm an encourager to the saints, to the body, to live out your faith, to be open with the gospel where the Lord has you. We're not all being sent to Cairo, or we're not all going to Cambodia, but God has sent us all somewhere, to the baseball team, to the sports, to the jobs we go to our unsaved family. He has sent us all there, and I think I can be a blessing to the church in helping to equip all of us to be faithful in that area. And I see a great opportunity for Grace Bible to impact the community, and I think we already are, so I don't want to minimize and say, oh, we're just not doing that. We are doing that, but I think there's a great opportunity to do it even more. Andrew Imperial, if he's here, he's doing outreach to the seniors, and teams go there and minister to the people, and seemingly at the very end of their life, and maybe they've never heard the gospel, or maybe they've heard it 50 times, but that Sunday morning when the teams are there, they repent and believe the gospel. We are impacting that. They don't go there and just hand out cards. They go there with the intent to share the gospel and be faithful and let the Lord do his work.
And I think when people heard the announcement that we were candidating with you in this position, both services applauded that. And I think partly is because they see in you the gift of hospitality. And when we read in the scriptures about hospitality, that's a combination of two Greek words. The first is stranger, and then the other is love. And it's the love of the stranger. And I think that's what we're seeing when we see you interact with people. Whether you have known them for decades or you just met their ugly dog, you love them. And it's obvious that you love them. And I think the combination of hospitality with a willingness to be honest and to say what is true, I think, is what has made you a good pastor. How do you see that working, particularly in the congregational care aspect of the responsibilities you'll have?
Yeah, well, first off, the dog isn't ugly to them. They think it's the sweetest looking dog. So Diane and I have loved to open our home up, and having good conversations in the fellowship room after service is great. Do it. Discuss the sermon. Speak about what the Lord is teaching you. But I don't think it in any way replaces the desire and the fellowship that we should have for one another, to be among one another, to invite them over. And our hospitality leads to that. We just pretty much every Sunday we're not having small group. We are inviting people over. We love to do that. It's something the Colvas have done for many years. And getting to know people deeply and praying with people does that. So on a Wednesday night, when you come and you pray with people, the Lord is developing an amazing bond when you're bearing up with one another, whether it's for the church or it's for our country, or when it's for the needs of our body right here that are going on, you develop that love. So how does it, I think it lends itself to the hospitality, but also the love for the church, to caring, congregational care. And I've learned so much from my brother Chris, and how he has handled that, and I've just loved this brother. Is he in his normal spot over there? And there he is. And we would frequently do a lot together on the hospitality stuff, and on the caring for the flock. We would go to the hospitals together. We've been to some funerals together, and I just grow and learn from him, and text him too much.
Yeah. What do you love most about ministry, and what has been most challenging?
What do I love most about ministry? I love most that we are growing in the Lord together in ministry, and when difficult things happen, we bond. So amazing. I'm looking at my brother Billy over there, and we've been through a lot, and when we go through stuff together, we bond and grow in our trust and love of the Lord. So ministry is difficult, and it doesn't have a clock, so you get that phone call when someone is in need at 10 o'clock at night. That's difficult because you want to have the right words in that time to comfort a brother or sister in need. That's difficult. And I think it's difficult when, I'll say this the wrong way, but when you give wise, I believe wise counsel has been given and it's not applied. So that can be a little bit of a frustrating thing. If it's a sin issue and you're continuing on in your sin and you expect things to go okay, it's almost like, well, what did you expect? You keep doing the things that bring that upon yourself. And so when you see people struggling with the sin that they just hold on to, that's frustrating and struggling because you just want to see them come out of that. I hope that answered it.
Yeah, and I think there are the giftings that the Lord gives us, and that can be a benefit to the church. There are the difficulties that come naturally with ministry. So now the question is, what part does seminary play in your mind for the equipping of the pastor for long-term ministry?
Well, I'm really excited about TMS and have been accepted there for seminary to begin in September. And there's something over the years when you're making really difficult decisions. There's something I shared with Jack a little while ago. There's a discernment that I want to grow in. Sometimes you're in a room and you're going around and you're making decisions. You're almost like, I wish I thought of that one. You go around there. That's why the collective elder board is such a blessing to me. But for long-term ministry, it's going to take me a long time to get through it. But going to seminary is, I hope, going to help me deeply understand and grow in my discernment as a pastor, and that's what I want to do.
Yeah. And I think they'd be encouraged. I don't know if we've told you this yet, but the three guy JT, who Lord willing will potentially be on staff, Pastor Chris, and also the pastoral intern, is Robin here? The three of them have applied to the Master Seminary and been accepted, so Lord willing, they'll all start together in the fall.
Yeah, we're all flying out. And we'll see you guys in 3 years. They have a mentor program where Pastor Jack is actually our professor for many of the classes, so we'll be under him while we do classes live at TMS or recorded, depending on our schedule.
To explain that.
We're not leaving.
Yeah, that's exciting. And it's just one class. You guys will be thankful for that. It's the pastoral ministry. One per semester. Right. Yeah, you're going to want to learn from those experts out there, though. So that's very exciting. What would be your top priorities as far as congregational care is concerned as you lead the ministry?
Top priorities.
What do you want to see done? How do you want to be a blessing to the church, to the elders as they give shepherding care, the small group leaders, the...
That's what he said. What you said. he's clarifying things. The small group leaders are essential to me. I love the small group leaders. We love our small group. And I think I want to come alongside the small group leaders and encourage them, just like Chris has been doing, and give them resources that can be a blessing to them as they grow in the Lord, but as they teach others, right? We're called to train up others, and the small group ministry, give or take half of the church is in the small group ministries. So that's a really good priority for me, to continue to encourage the men that lead the small group ministries. As far as the, just want to continue to be available for the church. I think that's part of the blessing for having, getting the staff, another staff or two, would be that The lay guys are phenomenal. These guys are available for you all. I know that. And if I just want to be available as well, like I've been as a lay guy, but full-time. So if there's an opportunity that there's a need, there's more counseling and shepherding, I will have more time, hopefully, to invest, be invested in, but also invest in others. Working 45 hours a week and commuting and being stuck late, I don't have a lot of time, as much as I would like, to invest in other men. Hmm. So that would be a priority, to equip the small group leaders to have more time to invest in the faithful, available, teachable men, and also make myself available to be faithful, available, and teachable as well.
Yeah. And when it comes to local outreach, you had mentioned Andrew's ministry with elder care. What are some other opportunities that you're excited about that you're planning to pursue in terms of our local outreach?
Well, I do have some ideas, but I haven't been voted on, and I haven't gone to the elders with those, so I'm careful about saying, this is what we're going to do, when I haven't, A, been voted for the role, and B, spoken to the elders about that, because I do want their input and support on it. But I'll mention a couple. One of the things I thought about was how the people who serve us here, thinking of EMTs that have come to our campus over the years, have we blessed them? Like being a blessing to those who serve us, EMTs, firefighters, police. We've already had, we've had some new families come in because of the police being on our campus, mm-hmm. and we praise God for that. I think we can be a blessing to those who serve in our community and let them know that Grace Bible Church is here for them. There's a bunch of ideas that I have, and I just want to share them with the elders and look forward to us working through them and how we can best, implement those and execute them. It's really going to be a church mission-mindedness that moves that. It's not JT is going to here or there, and I'm going to go, looking forward to it, but it's calling us all to go and use the gifts God has given all of us to go bless others. So it may look like once a month we visit all the firehouses in Wall or Howell or Brick, the ones that many of our members go to. It might be visiting them once a month with, they're meeting nights with 30 pizzas.
Yeah.
And
nobody can say no to pizza.
Nobody can say no to pizza. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I would like to do. And there's still opportunities to reach the lost in our community by being in the community and being intentionally in the community in ways. And we'll use, I hope, the gifts that God has given wherever you are to equip you to be there and be faithful.
Mm. And why do you think it's essential for our church to have that outlook, not to just be thinking, okay, we want to be equipped, we want to be sanctified, we want to be growing in our own faith, but to really have that as the basis from which we are then going out to be witnesses? Why do you think that's important?
Well, I always remember the reality that God saved us and left us here. We have the promise of eternal life, but yet he left us here for a duration. And I don't want to take that duration that we're left here for granted. I want us to use that and be faithful with that. We are all called. It's not just pastors that are called to be faithful with the gospel. It's all of us. And we are sent to make mature and multiply disciples for Jesus Christ here and around the world, here and around the world, to the glory of God. So we're all sent. And that's the mission of the church. And we're the light. It's a dark place. You guys know. It is a dark and tough place. And we have the hope. We have the good news that speaks to their need. So why would we keep that to ourselves?
Yeah. P. Surge has done an excellent job overseeing the missions aspects of our outreach. How do you see yourself serving alongside him and those who are already deeply involved in international missions?
This has been a great outreach. I mean, supporting to our missionaries. They love us. Our missionaries love Grace Bible Church. They have told us that many times, and it's because of the way Pastor Search has set that all up. And if you're not part of the prayer teams, I encourage you to find one of the groups to continue on in the prayer as we get updates for what the Lord is doing. I'm in a few of them. And how he set it up where we have teams of gracers continually praying over the needs and communicating with them is a great model. And church has done a great job in lining up the missionaries and vetting the missionaries. I mean, when you get a missionary, missionaries, when you interview them, all look great. Yeah. Right? We talk about missionaries like, okay, what's their work of service? What's their, what do they believe? Like truly believe? And making sure that they're aligned with us doctrinally. Yeah, so he's done a great job. How do I see him, me coming along there just in a supportive role? He's already doing, the teams are doing a great job. He's doing a great job. I don't know. I'll talk to Sergio. I'll give you a blessing to him. I don't know that question.
One of the things that's been real exciting, I think, for the whole church is to see how he has used those teams to communicate really well with the missionaries, and then to see, particularly at the end of the year, what are the needs that are over and above our normal support. And praise God for your generosity and the opportunity that you guys in giving to the church give us to always use that miscellaneous budget. It's like, okay, sometimes there's a truck that's needed. Sometimes there's another school that we can build. Sometimes there's a handful of pastors in China that we can go and support. And because of the faithful giving of the church, we get to, one, communicate well with the missionaries, and then two, directly meet those needs. I think that's going to be one of the most exciting parts of your
job. I'm
going to
enjoy that. We did buy a motorcycle a few years ago for Fennell, right?
Yeah.
And the Bruno's out there in Haiti. And it was like, listen, we can't function. Like, we need that. And we had the availability, like Pastor Jack said, to bless them with that really in the moment. There's been many of those which are really great. And also seeing how people are now embedding themselves with those missionaries and now going to the Kings. There's various short-term missions trips that we have planned, and some of them may not actually happen, but we want to send them out there to be a blessing to them and to get embedded and see what's really going on in that ministry and report back to the church how the Lord is using our missionaries, using the funds that we send that they're going to gospel ministry work, and see that how that the Lord is working in all of our missionaries.
We have few more questions, but just so you guys know, if you want to be thinking about a couple questions that you might have, there'll be a little bit of time at the end for you to ask a question or two. So what, how do you see yourself functioning in this role when it comes to personal convictions that you have? Others may not share the same convictions that you have. How are you able to, you're a man that has some strong convictions, how does that affect your relationships with people who don't necessarily share those same ones?
Having strong convictions is a good thing, but imposing convictions isn't. So if, I don't know what specific conviction they're speaking of there, I don't even know that it matters. But if we don't drink in our home, I'm not going to say don't drink in your home. There's things, I don't really watch TV at all. So I wouldn't say TV is all bad, you can never do it. Well, we stream stuff. But we don't, there's things that, I'm not even sure what conviction you're speaking of. And I don't believe I've done that. And I've been shepherding for 5.5 years. If I've done that, I'm unaware of it. We have to be understanding. I loved Pastor Mark Jundis' Sunday school a few weeks ago on those gray areas. How do we parent in the gray areas? It's the same thing. How do we shepherd in those gray areas as well? And we have to be mindful that there are gray areas. And, I want to be kind in that area. I do have strong convictions. I do. And, I hope that I haven't done that. And if I have, let me know.
Yeah. I don't think you have done that. That question was more getting at, like, how as a pastor, now that you're going to have, I mean, you would have the same amount of authority that you would have as a lay elder, and I think you've done that faithfully, but particularly being over congregational care, you're going to be interacting with several different folks, and so.
Yeah.
Yeah. One question is, why now? Why do you think that this is a good opportunity now to hire you, for you to take on this position? And what particular, let's say, what particular benefit does it bring to the church to do this now? We've been looking for 2 years. Why does it make sense in your mind?
I believe there's a need to have more pastors available full time. We've, like I said before, we've always had four. Why now? I'm not going to question the Lord's timing on it. I've wanted to be in full-time ministry, and the door was given an opportunity to come on as full-time pastor. I don't think it was. I don't think it was me saying. I was waiting on the Lord, and I knew that other one, that job just didn't feel exactly right. So I was waiting on the Lord and praying about things that He might open. The blessing to the church, I believe, is that we were out at the Expositor Seminary for the men's retreat, and we were meeting with Todd Murray and some of the elders there. They gave us hours of their time on the day of a massive influx of pastors. And one of the things that, when they were giving us a tour, Todd said he basically petitioned, if you will, I'm trying to think of the word he used, the elder board, to allow him to move somewhere else that he was gifted in. And the church did agree, and Todd just felt like that's where he was gifted to be. So it's really important, I think, for the elders to have people in place to use their giftedness. And I think this does do that for both Chris and I, and really excited for that opportunity.
Yeah. And it's encouraging me to see both of you excited for the responsibilities that you're gonna have. What questions would you guys have? We got time for a couple. We're gonna put you on the spot.
I didn't know we were doing that.
Yeah, neither did I. Neither did they.
All right, that's a wrap.
Yeah. Okay, Wally, what's up?
And by the way, excuse me, my brother. I'm here tonight. I'm hanging out. So if something you didn't ask a question and wanted to ask, come see me. If you, if I drew up a question, see me, because of my chatting. I'm not running out. We have an hour, but I'm here. So.
And some of them are as nervous to ask a question as you were to be here at a Q&A.
Yeah. So,
go ahead, Wally.
So I know that you and Jack are very much aligned in a lot of biblical theology. A little nervous about asking.
Yeah, it's okay. Go ahead. I get the same way, actually.
So do you find that there could possibly be a conflict knowing that you don't both support the same football team?
That could be a big conflict. He's talking about the sanctification that's going on in JT's life in terms of NFL fanship. No, it's not going to happen.
Good question. It hasn't been a problem so far. We have fun with it.
Yeah, we've watched several games, and it's easier to have him over for the game because the Giants beat the Cowboys
He invites me over to watch the Giants-Dallas game, but he won't invite me over for the Bills-Dallas. He won't do it.
That's true.
He's not going to invite us over for the Bills game, right, Jay? Nope.
Yep, Marcia. So you're passionate about sharing the gospel just because it's being recorded. If there's a person here who's not yet a believer, what would you say to them?
I would say that you're in great need, and your eternal soul is in great need. If you have heard the gospel and you have not responded in the way that God intends, which is to believe it and place your trust fully in it, not trusting how good you are in your morals, trusting that Jesus Christ is who He says He is. He is the Son of God, the Messiah, who came to live the life we cannot live because we're sinners. Our sin that we commit isn't what makes us a sinner. We are a sinner, so we prove it by sinning. We were born in sin, and the gospel is the only hope that you have for eternal life with Jesus Christ. So place your trust and your hope all in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
That was good. We should always be preaching the gospel to ourselves. I learned that from Bob. I preach the gospel to myself every day. Diane and I pray and praise God for the gospel that saved our souls every night when we go to bed. It's just part of what we do. It doesn't get old. The gospel never gets old. Mm. And we need it to be reminded of it daily.
Yeah. Yep, Beth. Yeah, so JT will be responsible for congregational care. She was asking about what the alignment of responsibilities will be. So it'll be in. There's a half sheet or a folded whole sheet going around. There you go, Alexis. We'll get it to you just so everybody knows, though. JT will be responsible for congregational care, missions, and outreach. So all of those responsibilities, all the responsibilities for ministry in the church are under a staff pastor, and JT will be over those. So congregational care, missions, and outreach, which is including the care and share, funerals, homebound visitation ministry, sanctuary support, which includes greeters, communion ministry, security, ushers, small groups, 40-plus singles, college and career, the church sign out front. That's you, bro. That is you. You better do good with that. Weddings, welcome center, missions outreach, community outreach, elder care, all those different things. Now, he's not going to be the one leading all of those. Obviously, there's lots of people in place leading those particular ministries, but he'll be overseeing that and giving direction to that and there to serve those who do lead them.
Yeah, thank you for so many servants at Grace Bible Church. We are just a model of servants in this church, and that will be one of the first things I do is spend time with each one of those leaders to see how it works, what's running well, what isn't, how can the church bless you, what do you need, how do you become more effective in your ministry, what support can I give you, can the church give you. So I've already spoke to a few of the leaders and just want to get a better understanding of a clear understanding of what they're doing, who's serving in the ministry, what do they need. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mrs. Weaver.
You mentioned that you were saved during some studies with Bob. I know Bob can tell you exactly where he was saved, with what book, what verse. Was there a specific book? Was there a specific scripture? And if not, what is your favorite scripture?
So what scripture, what book was it that kind of the Lord used to open his eyes to the saving knowledge of Christ? And if there isn't anything, then which one is your favorite?
Yeah, well, I already mentioned I love the 2 Corinthians 5 verses from like 17 down. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. That running down is the call. I believe it was, I don't know, but my favorite verse in scripture that I go to when I'm speaking to someone who's not yet a believer would be John chapter 20, verse 30, that these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. Mm. So, you know, just before that, they said not all of the miracles Jesus did are recorded, but these are recorded for the specific reason that you would believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And that verse is underlined, highlighted in every Bible I have, because it just is a reminder to us that Jesus is the one who made himself so evidently known to us in his life. And then he doesn't, like, he could write it on the sky tomorrow, but he doesn't. He uses you, and I know he uses you. Mm-hmm. He uses us, the ones he saved, broken vessels to shine the light for Christ.
Tom? Mm.
JT, I know you mentioned evangelism as one of your gifts. Are there any other spiritual gifts you think that you are particular to you that you've been gifted with? And how would you apply those to this position?
So you had mentioned evangelism as your spiritual gift, one of. What are others, and how do you apply those to this position?
One would be hospitality. So we would continue to grow in the hospitality area and invite people to get to know them deeply. I don't think it's easy for someone who's in a great struggle to just call you up. Or they'll call you when it's so great that it's like, where are we going with this? And when you're embedded with a brother or sister in Christ and they have a need and they know they can call you before it gets there, because we all have struggles and we need somebody to call. So I think developing the relationships within the church is very important for all of the pastors in this church to know who they're serving, not just know of them, but know them. So I want to continue that. I believe he's given me the gift of preaching and teaching, and continue to love preparing a sermon. One of the things we always do whenever we teach, even it doesn't matter if it's a $5 Friday, whenever we're teaching, we give feedback to one another so that we can help one another grow. There's never been
over in youth group you're talking about?
Anywhere in the church, anywhere that I'm involved. if it's a Sunday, Jack will invite me in either ahead of time or after or both to go through the lesson. Just to help us grow in that. And it's just great to spend time digging in the Word and preparing a lesson is just great. I love it.
So usually I'll take notes and just give you a few, all right, here's some things to improve on, here's some things to keep on doing well. But since Rob is now on staff and he's here Wednesday and Saturday, I brought him in and did what Randy did to me. And we watched his whole sermon and we'd pause it and talk about things, play it, pause it, talk about things. It took us like 2 hours to go. So that's what's coming up.
I love it.
I told him this was so painful for me, but so helpful to me. So
yeah. Well, Pastor Randy, the very first sermon I taught was the week after he had announced that he was moving back to Michigan. And talk about terrifying. My prayer was that I wouldn't trip walking up the stairs. And the Lord answered that. But I preached
Praise
it before to Randy, and we went through it. He is the very detailed man, and that was a communion Sunday as well. So here I am, and we're practicing in his office, handing back the communion, and he's going, I didn't take it. Why are you pulling away? I didn't take that from you. We were having fun with it. But when he sat there and he took a page of notes from my lesson, he said, how do you think you did on pitch? And I'm like, oh, man. I was like a 5 or 6 on the pitch. And he looked at me and goes, no, that was more like a 2. How do you think you did? how do you think you did on pause, let's say? And I said, pauses, oh, that wasn't so good. And he goes, oh, pauses was like a 5 or 6. Good job. And we were going through the content of the lesson, but also how to deliver well. And he was training me up. And this brother does it. I learned not to go to Pastor Jack too close to my teaching. I like shine. If it gets close, yeah. I say, no, let's go over it afterwards. Because he'll be like, oh, why don't you move that over there? And he's so spot on.
Yeah.
And now I'm like up till 3 a.m. waiting to do it. Yeah, Massimo. So I try and get to him like 10 days ahead of time and say, here's where I'm going. We met for breakfast the last time and he walked through the lesson.
Oh, man. So. Yeah. We're helpful to each other. Let me just read this for the closing of our time. You therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Pastor Randy was here, and he was speaking at a marriage retreat not too long ago. They kept it a secret because we weren't invited. It was over at Colts Neck, and it was just for their church, just like we do. But he was talking with a couple of other pastors, and they were shocked at how well the transition has gone here. And he told them, and I think we're all beneficiaries of this, you could give me no greater compliment to know that after I left, things just kept on going well. And JT is evidence of that. Pastor Randy poured into all of us. And he poured into JT, and you just heard a story about that, and he could tell many, many more. And it was because he did exactly what Paul tells Timothy to do. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, he entrusted those things to us, and now we have been the ones who get the opportunity to go and teach others also. And so, praise God for that. Praise God for,
can I
for
say
you,
something?
Brother. Nope. All right, let's pray.
back to the calling of why we need to do this. Look around our church on any given Sunday or even tonight. God has blessed this church so abundantly. We have so many young families coming with their kids, and they're not just coming Sunday. They're coming because they want to grow in the Lord. This is not evidenced in a lot of churches, but it's evidenced at Grace Bible Church, and we're a praying church and a faithful church, and God has been faithful to us. So that's one of the things that I wanted to share, that I believe that there's many opportunities. We don't just go to church on Sunday and leave, and I went to church. This is a community of believers that want to continue to grow in their love of the Lord and the service to the Lord. And having more men to do that, I think, is a good reason, and it's an honoring reason to God that we pour into one another. And yeah.
So. Yeah. Praise God for that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that you have done that. You have given us good convictions to set the ministries of this church on the foundation of Christ and his word. And we get to see that worked out and sanctify people on a daily and weekly basis. Thank you for our pastor, Pastor Randy, how he has entrusted the truth to us and how we get to carry that on, and what a blessing it has been to serve you together as a church. And thank you for how we get to continue to see the effects of his ministry continue. And Lord, thank you for JT and the ways that he has already been a blessing to the church, and how we've had several conversations of he's already doing it, and these are the guys that you want to set apart so they can just do it more, so that the church can be blessed by it. And so we pray that you would use this Q&A and use JT just to bring clarity to our minds as a church, and lead us in the direction that you would have us go. Give us the convictions to bring you honor and glory, and may we get the opportunity multiple and several times to celebrate and praise you together as you do that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. Have a great night.